And so what happens now to President Trump? There's no evidence that current claims of voter fraud will change the outcome of this election. And by all accounts, this man who was surprised to find he won the last election has grown accustomed to the trappings of office. At a Georgia rally in October, he asked the crowd, what would he possibly do if he were to lose?
Running against the worst candidate in the history of presidential politics puts pressure on me. Could you imagine if I lose my whole life? What am I going to do? I'm going to say, I lost to the worst candidate in the history of politics. I'm not going to feel so good. Maybe I'll have to leave the country. I don't know.
Is the president actually considering that? And if he is it because he realizes when he's no longer president, he's no longer immune from prosecution? That's one of the questions raised in the most recent issue of The New Yorker, written before Joe Biden was declared president-elect. Jane Mayer writes, Trump has famously survived one impeachment, two divorces, six bankruptcies, 26 accusations of sexual misconduct, and an estimated 4,000 lawsuits. Few people have evaded consequences more cunningly. That run of good luck may well end, perhaps brutally, if he loses to Joe Biden. Well, he has. So wither Trump. Jane Mayer is chief Washington correspondent at The New Yorker. She spoke to many people close to the president and legal scholars and historians for her report, Why Trump Can't Afford to Lose, Gaming the Endgame. And she joins us from Washington, D.C. Jane, welcome.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
Well, and you begin with a dramatic rendering of Nixon in the White House, you know, sobbing on his knees, talking about getting a gun in a way that alarmed his aides. This is Woodward and Bernstein's account in the book, The Final Days. Nixon resigns in the face of all the evidence of criminality against him. You write, Donald Trump could be looking at an endgame more perilous. That's quite a sentence, you know, something more perilous than Nixon faced. And it has to do with an investigation in New York and payments to Stormy Daniels. Start there. Remind us.
There is actually an ongoing and quite serious criminal probe of President Trump at this moment. It's being conducted by the District Attorney's Office in Manhattan, in New York, and it began by looking into the payments that we all read about during the 2016 campaign, where Trump is accused of trying to pay off a porn star to keep her from telling that she had a one-night stand with him that would have been embarrassing for his election. So that was the beginning of the investigation. It has now grown, from what I was able to understand, into quite a serious investigation of his business practices and potential tax fraud, bank fraud, insurance fraud, and they're proceeding ahead.
Yeah. There's his fight with the IRS. And you talk about some of the things we've heard about, the gimmicks he used to eliminate his tax burden, deducting $70,000 for hair care, which is usually a personal expense. I mean, you go into much of this. And by the way, the original complaint that started this, the Stormy Daniels payoff, Michael Cohen, his former lawyer, accused of setting up a shell company that paid out money to Daniels, and that was listed as legal campaign expenses. That's considered an illegal campaign contribution.
I mean, here's the thing. Michael Cohen is cooperating with the Manhattan DA's office. Michael Cohen went to prison for this and had a 3-year sentence. So we've already seen that this is a case that has been brought against somebody else and has succeeded in convicting somebody else. And Trump has been named, in all but name, as an unindicted co-conspirator of Michael Cohen's in various court documents. He could not be prosecuted in the way the Justice Department viewed it while he was still president. But what the reason that I write about the peril he's in now is, if he's no longer president, he can be prosecuted. You know, I'm not trying to say that he will be prosecuted, but I am trying to say it's an actually very serious investigation. And in this case, he can't pardon himself.
Well, let's talk about a pardon. We know that Nixon thought maybe he could pardon himself. His Justice Department and many people close to him said, no, we don't think it works that way. He ended up being pardoned by Gerald Ford. Talk about the fact that, you know, you would think it was written down somewhere whether or not a president can do this, but apparently it's not that clear. Explain.
According to various legal experts, including a Harvard Law professor, Jack Goldsmith, it's really not clear at this point, whether a president can pardon himself or not. The powers of the presidential pardon are very broad, and they're not really laid out in any specific way. So all there is this one kind of flimsy, quick Justice Department opinion that came from the Nixon era, where somebody in the Justice Department said that she didn't think a president could pardon himself because no man can stand in, you know, in judgment of his own case. But it really hasn't been tested. Nixon thought about it, but he thought it would disgrace himself if he tried it. Many people think that Trump may try it, including John Meacham, the historian, who said he's always imagined that for a narcissistic president, it might be the perfect final act.
Well, a president can cede power to their vice president, who can then issue a pardon.
And that is also laid out in this Justice Department memo. I mean, it's fascinating. What the memo says is, yes, a president could temporarily cede the power to the vice president, who would then step up to become president, could pardon the temporary former president, who could then come back and take the power again, having been pardoned. And that is laid out in this Justice Department memo. Again, these are uncharted waters. We have not been in this position before. But most people think there are going to be a lot of pardons.
Well, no American president has ever been charged with a criminal offense. So that's kind of where we are. And for those, you know, just tuning in, we're speaking to Jane Mayer of The New Yorker, who is kind of gaming the end game for President Trump if, in fact, he does lose the election and leaves the White House. You know, there are a lot of his strong supporters. We've spoken to some of them who believe he will stay. He actually has won the election, so we just want to note that. But you're gaming the end game, but so is apparently everybody in Washington. You spoke to so many Trump associates who, first of all, told you before he lost that he would not admit defeat. Michael Cohen, his former lawyer, said the rush to confirm Amy Coney Barrett was motivated in part because Trump hoped the court would then rule in his favor in election disputes. This rings somewhat true because you think that if he'd held off on pushing her confirmation, he might have won the voters who wanted to ensure that he won so that he could have her confirmed. But then others speculated about whether or not President Trump would leave the country. Is that possible? Can he just do that?
Well, I mean, it seems unfathomable in this country. I mean, you know, obviously we have not seen it before, but it's happened in other countries that have had corrupt oligarchical kinds of leaders. And some of the people who study authoritarianism, Timothy Snyder, professor at Yale, for instance, suggests that it's not out of the question. A number of people who know Trump are watching this, and they know his character well, and they think he can really operate from almost any country where he's got a business set up, and he's got his company is worldwide. So there are those possibilities. But Tony Schwartz, his former co-author of The Art of the Deal, the book that really made Trump famous in the first place, says, where would he go? Who would want him?
He does have followers around the world, and as you said, he does have at least hotels in his name around the world, and not necessarily ones he owns.
He does. I mean, what he's really been talking about most recently now is possibly running for another term in 2024. And that's something that his former political aide, Steve Bannon, had floated. And most people didn't take it too seriously at first, but evidently that is the talk around the White House, which serves a number of purposes. It presents Trump, even if he has to leave the White House this time, as someone who's still viable, still a political power. And people around him say he sees it also as potentially a shield against prosecution because it would look political if someone went after him.
Well, that is if prosecution or indictment or any settling of these investigations has not happened in 4 years. Or it could be that he is not indicted. None of this happens. And there's speculation that he may become a talk show host or a replacement for Rush Limbaugh, who's fighting terminal lung cancer, or a competitor for Fox News. He has not been happy with his coverage by Fox News during the election, for instance, when they called Arizona. What were people saying about that, him starting maybe his own network?
Absolutely. There's been a lot of talk about this. It was something that they talked about seriously, his aides and he, and at the time Roger Ailes, who had just left Fox. They talked about this in 2016 quite seriously, getting him some kind of media platform. And in the story that I've got in The New Yorker, I have a statement from Bernard Marcus, Bernie Marcus, he calls himself, who is one of the co-founders of Home Depot. And he's got the means to really invest in something like that. He's a huge Trump backer, and he thinks it's a great idea. So you've got some of the ingredients that might make it work. Some of the people who've known Trump well are a little skeptical because a talk show, as you know, is a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort to plan a really good show. And someone like Rush Limbaugh has worked very hard at it. Whatever you think of his show, he really has put a lot of effort into it. And people who know Trump say it might be too much work for what he wants to do.
That's Jane Mayer, chief Washington correspondent for The New Yorker. Her article, Why Trump Can't Afford to Lose Gaming the Endgame, is in the most recent New Yorker magazine. We'll link you at herenow.org. Jane, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.